50, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Hunter Hawes and Brett Johnson here for today's local Minnesota radio hour. And in fact, to begin the show, we have a familiar voice of the 4 o'clock hour, Doug Padgett, whose Vote Common Good tour comes here to Minnesota tomorrow evening. Doug, are you there?
Hunter Hawes, how you doing, buddy?
Great
Hunter,
to have
first,
you.
First thing, I've only been gone for a week, and somebody's already changed the theme song to the 4 o'clock show.
We've actually been using that whenever me and Brett host for a couple months.
Did you think I wasn't going to notice? All right. All right. Well, hey, we're getting close to you. We're on 94. I'm in a big sleeper bus right now. We're rolling from Wisconsin into Minnesota. The Vote Common Good tour is going to be over at Veterans Park in Richfield tomorrow at 6:30. And that's the program start time. You want those kids to get there early.
Mm-hmm.
Snuggle up next to the heaters and get the hand warmers out because it's going to be chilly. And there's going to be a food truck, the Chef Shack, some of the finest food you could ever eat out of the back of a truck. So bring an appetite and come with us tomorrow.
So what's the setup going to be like for tomorrow's event?
It's unbelievable. We have this big stage. It's a 20 foot wide by 16 foot deep, about 18 foot tall stage. It's incredible. If you're into like Transformers or like electric cars, either of those things, that's what this deal is like. It's this hydraulic stage that opens up. And so it's got a big stage. We have a musician from Brooklyn, New York, from Reverend Vince, plays at the Union Pool in Brooklyn. Mia Pace is with us. They're going to be our musical leads. Richard Painter will be there. Mm-hmm. Angie Craig, Dean Phillips. A couple of people I'm going to have you talk to here in a minute that are on the bus with me. Christy Berghoff, Samir Samalovic, Ami, Nadia Boltz-Weber, a guy named Frank Schaefer, all kinds of people.
Yeah, it's
so
cool.
It's a full house. It'll be a program will run an hour and a half, 2 hours. And it's going to be a great time. Yeah, so we're really excited about it. And had a fantastic event last night in Holland, Michigan. And I'm not into like state by state rivalries or anything, but I'm just saying Holland, Michigan really brought it last night. So the Twin Cities needs to rally up for the Vote Common Good tour that's coming to Richfield's Veterans Park, which is 64th in Portland. And I have to admit to you, Hunter, and my friend Simon Troutman, councilman in Richfield, is not going to like this. I didn't know where Veterans Park was until we booked this event there. So if someone says, I have no idea what he's talking about, Veterans Park, it's 64th in Portland. You might not even know it's there or just think it's a putt-putt place.
It's right by that VFW or American Legion.
It shares a parking lot with the VFW and the American Legion.
See, I knew where it was.
In Richfield, right there. In fact, Hunter, that's an inside scoop. That's where you should park.
Oh,
that's the best parking lot.
Hot tip for the listeners.
I was over there a couple of Wednesdays ago, though, and they were having a big fish fry and the parking lot was all full. So you just never know what you're going to get at the VFW in Richfield.
So, you managed to book Richard Painter. This is kind of his first public appearance since the primary. How'd you go about doing that and explain his enthusiasm for the event?
Yeah, that's great. That's a great question. Well, he was on the show a couple of months back, you remember, just before the primary, and told him about what we were doing. He's really excited about it, thinks it's a great idea. Like a lot of other people, Richard said, I think voting common good is what people need to be considering. That's the approach that they need to take, is considering the common good and not just their political habits. And like in this case, my political habit, voting for Democrat, fits with the common good. But for some people, they have to break their habit in order to vote for common good. And, you know, Richard's one of those guys. He moved from being a part of the Republican party and, you know, now sees that the party has moved from him, as so many people do. And he now needs to respond and do something about it. I think he's really excited to be there. And, you know, I haven't brought up with him if this is his first public appearance after the defeat in the primary.
Now, what can people expect when they attend? You say music, you got these politicians speaking. What's the whole feel of the event?
Well, the whole feel is that we're encouraging people of faith and of conscience to pursue the common good. So speeches are short. 7 to 12 minutes. There'll be a bunch of those. There'll be music in between. There's some activities people do. It's more street party and festive than it would be like political rally or religious meeting. And it's really fun. The sing-alongs, singing some old gospel-y songs, singing some Americana songs. Yeah, it's great. It's a raucous great time.
Now, what was your route that after a week you're already back in Minnesota?
Hey, great question. So we started in Minnesota, had to drive all the vehicles. We staged them all in Minnesota and drove out to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania, next to Allentown. Had our first event there. Then we went to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Then we went to Asheville, North Carolina, then Greensboro, North Carolina. Then we made our way up to Morgantown, West Virginia. And from Morgantown, West Virginia, we went to Holland, Michigan. Now we're making our way across Wisconsin to be there for the event tomorrow night.
Now,
so we're looping the country. Then we go down to Sioux City, Iowa, to Des Moines, Iowa, to Omaha, Kansas City, Wichita, then down into Texas, Dallas, Austin, Houston, San Antonio, El Paso, Las Cruces, New Mexico, and then out to California for 6 stops.
Cool.
So we're barnstorming the country, my friend.
That's a wide variety of states. Now, what's the reception been in some of those red states?
Well, they're all red states. They're all red districts. Every place we're going has an incumbent Republican. And we believe that it's a flippable district. So the reason we're there is to support the candidates that we think are in districts that we think are flippable. The great majority are women candidates, but that's not the only, that's not the reason we pick them, but it's just been an extra bonus. And we're going into places to support Democratic candidates that we think have a chance to win, because dislodging control of Congress from the Republicans is something that's, I think, is an all hands on deck, all people need to do right now kind of approach.
Now, you're a person, a voice of faith and spirituality. Have you noticed a trend among other leaders in religion or spirituality for a more leftward progressive agenda?
Yeah, this is the thing, huh? It's a great question. It's a big deal among a lot of religious people, especially Christian religious people. The thing is, most of them keep it really quiet. And they don't say anything about it. They don't talk out loud. So one of our reasons for this tour is to try to get people in the religious community to turn up the volume a little bit on what they have to say. A woman at the event last night, she came in from Indiana. Marge was her name. And Marge said, I drove 4 hours because in my little town, all the progressive-minded people here feel like we have to whisper and only meet in small little groups. Like they're living in some sort of a nation where they have to hide their political beliefs. Mm. She had to do it in whispers. And she said, it's good to be here and to say it out loud. And a lot of people feel that way. They feel like, especially if they're from a religious background or their faith is important to them and motivates them, they can feel very much like they have to be quiet about that, because often in progressive politics, faith is not thought of very highly. And if you're in the faith community, progressive politics aren't thought of very highly. So there's a lot of people who feel themselves self-muzzling or self-muting because they feel the pressure from both sides.
And that's more of an American phenomenon, because in fact, around the world, most of the Christian political parties are actually liberal parties. But in America, we have this weird right-wing Christianity thing going on that is very unique to our country.
Yeah, that is so true. And I'll tell you, if one of the parts of the work that Vote Common Good is trying to do is to help Democratic candidates in the Democrat Party to, what we say, get religion. I mean, not that they become religious. We're not interested in making anyone religious. We want them to understand and to empathize with and to know how to connect with religious voters, because the best community that progressive politics could have would be people who are spiritually minded and go to churches and meet little groups and talk about the teachings of Jesus from the Christian tradition, at least. They're the best people you could ever go after. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the one that wants mm-hmm. you to care for the least of these and to love your neighbor as you love yourself, and to know that where your money is, there your heart is also, and to give unto those who ask from you and who need from you. Like it's the perfect partnership, and it just keeps being squandered over and over and over. And it doesn't need to be that way. I don't think it has to stay that way, and we're trying to do something about that.
Awesome. Now, you mentioned yesterday, and I think this is a really cool concept, that the location choice, where you chose this event in Minnesota, it's bordering on the 2nd and 3rd Congressional District, and you have both Dean Phillips and Angie Craig attending. So I love that idea. Why don't you speak a little bit more about that?
Yeah, that, I mean, you know, we in Minnesota, we were blessed with, you know, riches of candidates who are going to flip their districts. And I think both Angie Craig and Dean Phillips are going to win. And we wanted to support both of those. So we went for Richfield, partly because we wanted to have a place that was close to the edge of each of the districts. It's not in either of them, but it's close enough that we think people from both places would like to come. And we want to support those candidates and want to sneak in. But I'll tell you what, it's shocking how many religious-minded groups said no to us, wouldn't host us in their parking lots, couldn't host us at their church buildings. The Mall of America said no to us because it was too political. Businesses said no to it. Like, a lot of people say no to you when you want to get involved in politics, as if politics is something that, you know, some kind of a communicable disease that you're supposed to stay away from. Doesn't make any sense to me at all. And it wasn't the religious part that was keeping them away. It was the political part. So, yeah, we find it really confusing and not sure why that is. But the people who show up tomorrow night, they're the people who are going to be saying yes to this. And you just most social revolutions happen with the people who are willing to say yes, not worrying about the people who said no.
How long have you been working on this? Because that is quite the undertaking to go to all these districts across the country and plan it out and get locations set. And you just talked about the struggle of finding a location that will accept it. How long has this been in the works?
Hunter, you should be our fundraiser because you're nailing it for us. Look, we June 3rd, we came up with this idea.
Wow.
June 3rd. And since then, we've got 31 sites supporting more than 38 candidates in all those places, and it's amazing that we've pulled this thing off. And now there's a bus. You got to just see the bus. I'm telling you, friends, if you can just come by for 5 minutes and see the wrapped bus that says "Flip Congress for the Common Good," it's a thing of beauty, and the stage. So yeah, somehow this has all come together, and here we find ourselves on the bus and with you know, six events under our belt and rolling into the what for me is the highlight of the whole thing, coming to our hometown.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, that's got to be exciting to come back home for this and see all your friends and family and new people.
Well, Hunter, I've got people on this bus that I've been talking about meeting Hunter Haas and seeing what he's going to wear. And they are wound up.
Yeah, I got to figure that out.
Yeah, you do.
You put pressure on me.
Yeah, you do.
But no, that's something I enjoy. I love dressing to impress.
Hey, by the way, Hunter, there's a pop-up choir as a part of this where we invite anybody who wants to jump up on the stage and be part of the choir.
Oh.
So if you really get yourself threaded out, jump to the front of that pop-up choir crowd.
I did letter in choir in high school, actually.
Oh, you did? You lettered?
I wasn't the best singer. But because I played so many instruments in the choir, I racked up the most choir points or whatever, however they figure this out. So everyone was shocked that I was the one that received it. But yeah, I benefited from that. And I actually was playing instruments, so I didn't have to sing. And then I end up being the representative of the Lakeville North Choir.
If there's any chance you could sew that Lakeville letter I'll try and find it tomorrow. Because I think Lakeville is in Angie Craig's
it is.
District, right?
Yes.
Yep. Yep. All right. Well, that would really ring true. Hey, we're going to get a big turnout from AM 950. So we're going to, you know, it's not going to be missed tomorrow. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah. Why don't you give everyone the location, the times, what to expect one more time?
All right. 6:30 p.m. tomorrow night. Rain will be gone. We're working on that. The rain's going to clear out. 6:30 p.m. is the start of the event. You can show up early if you want to be part of the food truck. And frankly, parking's going to be an issue, so get there a little bit early. But 6:30 showtime start over at Veterans Park at 64th and Portland Avenue. 64th and Portland in Richfield, just off the crosstown. Pull into the park, park over at the VFW, park over at the Richfield Skate Rink. And walk on over, and it's going to be a raucous time. If you get anywhere close to it, I promise you, you're not going to have trouble seeing it. You'll see the bus, you'll see the big stage, you'll see you'll hear the sound. It's quite a spectacle. So we look forward to seeing everybody out there tomorrow.
Awesome. That's Doug Padgett, familiar voice of the 4 o'clock hour here on AM 950, whose Vote Common Good tour is coming here to Minneapolis. Well, not Minneapolis, Minnesota, tomorrow evening. Yeah. Doug, it was a pleasure having you on. Good luck tomorrow, and I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, gents. We'll see you.
952-946-6205 on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. We'll be right back after this.
I was 8 years old and running with...
The U.S. has been fighting for 17 years in Afghanistan, 15 years in Iraq, and 4 years in Syria. And now the Trump administration threatens intervention in North Korea and Venezuela. It is time to say, stop endless U.S. wars. Join us on Sunday, October 21st at 1:30 p.m. at the corner of 3rd Street and Cedar Avenue South in Minneapolis, and march at 2 p.m. to say, stop endless U.S. wars. March in solidarity with the Women's March on the Pentagon taking place the same weekend in Virginia. Make your voice heard. Say no to endless war. Say no to new wars and interventions. Say yes to money for housing, education, and the environment. Say yes to the dismantling of U.S. nuclear weapons. Initiated by the Minnesota Peace Action Coalition. For further information, call 612-827-5364. Let your voice be heard Sunday, October 21st at 1:30 p.m. at the corner of 3rd Street and Cedar Avenue in Minneapolis.
Litton's Party Value has moved 1 mile north. Get into Litton's Party Value is easy. Google 913 Plymouth Avenue North. Litton's Party Value's new location has the same great fun, party, holiday celebration supplies. Visit our Halloween section for your Halloween party and decorations and costumes too. Litton's Party Value has the selection, the quantities, and the low warehouse pricing you love. Visit our new location, 913 Plymouth Avenue North. Yes, free parking, or shop online, partyvalue.com.
Lowry Hill Meats, your neighborhood full-service butcher shop that works directly with family farms. Using whole animals gives Lowry Hill Meats the benefit of preparing custom cuts and dry aging. They offer beef, lamb, goat, pork, and poultry, including whole duck, roasting hens, turkey, quail, pheasant, and Cornish hens. Their sausages are made fresh in-house weekly using 40 rotating recipes. Try their handcrafted sandwiches. They are second to none. Lowry Hill Meats is located at 1934 Hennepin Avenue in Minneapolis or online at lowryhillmeats.com.
I'm Connie Bjork, co-host of Awakened Living Infusion Radio Show. Join Michelle Kitzmiller and I as we focus on all aspects of health, wellness, spirituality, and growth from a mind-body-spirit-emotion perspective. Join us next Saturday for a double infusion of Awakened Living Infusion Radio Show. At 10, you'll get a glimpse of who we are and what our show is all about. At 11, we'll give you new perspectives on stress and how it affects you. Let us help you infuse vitality into your life.
Brending Electrolysis on Grand Avenue in St. Paul has been a leader in permanent hair removal for people of all skin types and backgrounds for over 30 years, celebrating diversity and priding themselves on finding the right treatment plan for each client's individual needs, regardless of race or gender. Services include electrolysis, body waxing, facials, microneedling, and permanent makeup. Book your 60-minute complimentary consultation, including a 15-minute treatment today, for beautiful, lasting results. Visit BrendingElectrolysis.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, Hunter Hawes and Brett Johnson here for today's local Minnesota Radio Hour. And as Matt McNeil mentioned, or as Brett brought up during Matt's show, we are streaming now on not only Facebook, but YouTube and Twitter as well. And we also installed a new producer's cam. Brett, how has the streaming been going? The streaming experiment we started.
It's been going well so far. I think we'll be doing this on most of our weekday shows. I'm sure it's just riveting watching me here in the control room. Just seeing me push buttons and see what it looks like behind the scenes.
Yeah, you kind of have to behave now. You have to wear pants, as Matt said.
We have to wear pants. I mean, it's going to be pressure on us when we're sitting in this seat now. You're going to be back here on, what, Friday?
Yep.
You're going to have to see how it works over here, yeah.
Yeah, but last Thursday, I did an entire segment on YouTube and the reactionary right movement on YouTube and exposing this alternative influence network and this rise of right-wing YouTube content and kind of how it works and how they're exploiting the platform. And this is part of the reason why I came up with this, to expand our streams, add that producer cam, because I want to push more left-wing content on these social media networks. And it's totally the same spirit of why AM 950 was started as a progressive talk radio station in the first place, to combat that right-wing radio that was so prominent. But now that's starting to happen on YouTube and these social media networks, that I feel that us broadcasting here in the brightest blue state there is, Minnesota, is important to provide our progressive perspectives from this Midwestern state, because a lot of the progressive media outlets are broadcasting from California or New York, but we have a totally unique perspective here, being in Minnesota and being the blue state of all blue states.
Yeah, please share us as well, because as I didn't even think of that angle, that of course there are plenty of progressive outlets on YouTube or different online streams, but yeah, you're right, they all do come from the coasts, mm-hmm. and that just goes back to that stereotype, well, all liberals live on the coast. We're real Americans in the Midwest. They're Trump supporters. That's why AM 950 exists. There's not many Midwestern progressive outlets, so make sure you're sharing us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, all of those outlets. Make sure you get the word out. We're going to try to get all of our politically themed shows on these different social media platforms. Helps expand the word of our station, because while we enjoy being over the airwaves, really a lot of the future is going to be online with social media.
Yeah, I feel like that is our biggest chance to really expand our message to a more nationwide audience, is just explore these platforms that we're already using to a certain extent, but now start experimenting with how we produce and give out content to everyone, and try and build a national brand, or just reach more people. The most people that can hear these ideas, the better. And so me, Brett, Eric, Sam will be experimenting now with these different social media networks and how we create this content, how we label it, do different tests to try and build a reputation. And one thing I'd like to do is bring on some of these prominent YouTube voices on the left. Like, we have David Pakman every night at 9 p.m. broadcasting on AM 950. It'd be great to sit down with him. We're going to reach out to some of them. Sam Cedar. We've had Chapo Trap House in the past, and they might be on this week. So we're going to explore.
Ooh, that's quite the get if you get Chapo Trap House.
Yeah, that's very exciting.
We can't promise anything, as you said, but man, oh.
It sounds like to some extent they will be on, at least one of them, but they have two shows next Thursday at the Cedar Cultural Center, which will be my 30th birthday. So I'll be there, Eric will be there, and it'll be fun. We'll try and get them on next Thursday. But yeah, I'm very excited about the potential with how we explore these different avenues, because, like I said, we're broadcasting from the brightest blue state, Minnesota. But in the next segment, we're going to have a discussion. Minnesota wasn't always a blue state. Early in the 20th century, it was in fact a red state, and most of the blue states were red, and most of the red states were blue. So we are going to speak with a historian to flesh out this. How did the political parties switch platforms? To what extent did they switch platforms? Was it factions? What happened? When we return on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, phone number 952-946-6205. We'll be right back after this.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950, here to tell you about Snap Construction. They're experts in roofing, siding, window, and insurance restoration. They have energy-efficient products available for both residential and commercial properties. This spring, when we needed a company to take a look at a problem with our roof, I called the company I knew I could trust, Snap Construction. I've known Ryan, the owner at Snap Construction, for years, so I knew I could trust him. Don't just take my word for it. Check out their reviews online. They are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior contractor online in the metro area. Over the years, Ryan has always said the same thing to me about his work. If we build it, shouldn't we be held accountable for the work indefinitely? He backed that statement up years ago when Snap Construction was a pioneer in offering a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee.
Rather than me try to pass it along here, Hunter, let's go ahead and bring Peter on so we can get that all correct. All right, you guys, we're off air, so you can talk right now.
Yeah, how do you pronounce your last name?
Ratcliffe.
Ratcliffe. Okay, perfect.
Yep.
Yeah, and you kind of get the gist of what we're going to talk about. It's kind of just broadly. Yeah. It's not one specific thing, but how did this shift occur? Different facets of whether it was the liberal and conservative, or whether it was factions, or was it all civil rights, or we'll talk about it.
Yeah, either way, I'm interested in this one, too, because it drives me nuts when people say the parties
really
are the same. Yeah,
it's a really interesting topic that doesn't get talked about that much. There's a lot of misinformation, and I know there's several contributing factors to why this happened. But yeah, we'll go back to the broadcast, and we'll bring you in just a minute.
Yep.
Great. Thanks, Hunter.
Yep.
And by the way, hello to everyone on social media, as I just got a text from my mom saying, hey, you guys are on Facebook. Yes, we are. We're not on the airwaves, though, so everyone watching on social media gets the inside look.
Yeah.
As you know, I'm an animal lover, and you'd be surprised the mess just a tiny little chihuahua and guinea pig can manage to create. Thankfully, I call Zero Res to clean up the spots my critters leave on the carpeting. Their patented power water will clean the toughest messes and won't leave behind any of those smelly stains. Just call 952-ZERO-RES and tell them you're an AM950 listener. And if you're looking for a new gig, they are now hiring. Go to the careers page on ZeroResMN.com for info. Zero Res. Spell it backward or forwards. It spells the same.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for rain tonight with a low around 46. Wednesday, rain with a high near 50. Thursday, cloudy with a high near 40. And Friday, partly sunny with a high near 44. Enjoy the Boundary Waters without packing the tent. Big Bear Lodge lets you experience the Northwoods in authentic and modern woodsy cabins that still retain that old-world charm. The lodge has lakeside saunas, offers breakfast, has delicious beer and wine, guided pontoon tours, and private fire pits. So come find your smile at Big Bear Lodge. More at BigBearLodgeMN.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Hunter Hawes, Brett Johnson, broadcasting on local Minnesota Radio Hour here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, which we are broadcasting live from the blue state of Minnesota. And Minnesota has been the bluest state for the longest amount of time in recent history, but I have a map of the electorate from the 1916 election, I'm holding up to the video cameras, where it is a direct opposite of red and blue states. You have the entire South as blue states, and the North and Midwest, East Coast, West Coast, pretty solid red Republican states. Here to discuss how this massive change of almost direct polarity occurred is Peter Radcliffe, historian on the subject. Peter, are you there?
I am here, Hunter.
So, yeah, let's get into this. The example I have is 1916, and it's pretty much a direct opposite of, say, like the 2004 Bush election. What was going on, say, about 100 years ago, why the Midwest and East and West Coast were so Republican while the South was so solidly Democratic?
Well, I think that the initial political sort of division was shaped by the Civil War and Reconstruction. And so the Republican Party was the party of emancipation, and the party that pushed for the Reconstruction of the South, and that meant the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, the enfranchisement of African Americans, and a more activist government. That shaped then the opposition was in the South, and was largely the Democratic Party, which was the party that had opposed the Civil War, had opposed the the North had opposed the emancipation of the slaves. And that continued for a good half a century, even a little bit more. I mean, I think there's also very interesting nibbling away around the edges and in different spaces, so that when you say 1916, that's actually the moment when the Nonpartisan League emerges on the political scene and begins to provide a third-party alternative to both the Republicans and the Democrats. And over the next two decades, particularly here in the Midwest, the Nonpartisan League in North Dakota, the Nonpartisan League and then the Farmer Labor Party in Minnesota, the Progressive Party in Wisconsin, are really indications of the way a kind of political earthquake is building under the structures of the Republican and Democratic Party.
Now,
so that when we get to the 30s, things really change wholesale.
Is the generalization that the Republican Party was a kind of a big city metropolitan party that had still big business interest in mind, but also expanding the role of the federal government, because at that time those ideas helped one another, whereas now big business and less government regulation are kind of the go-to themes of the kind of Republican conservative position, and that the Democratic was more about the states' rights and keeping government small for their state ideas of pushing legislation through?
I think that that's really only true up to World War One. And the 1930s, the Great Depression, really occasions a tremendous shift in the American political landscape. And under particularly Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who is elected president four times in the 30s and through the first half of the 40s, the whole political terrain shifts, and the Democratic Party becomes the party of government intervention in the economy and adopts a form of economic theory and practice called Keynesianism, and that really is part of this big political shift that starts in the 1930s and, for the most part, continues at least until the election of Clinton in 1992.
Now, you mentioned Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Now, what about the other Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt, being a Republican and then forming the Progressive Party? Was Teddy Roosevelt's policies in line with Franklin Roosevelt's at all?
Only in some areas. That
okay.
is, he was an advocate of protecting the environment and thereby government regulation of development. So he certainly was a believer in a more active government, but he was much less liberal around issues of racial and economic equity than Franklin Delano Roosevelt would be.
Now, is it true that back then both the Republicans and Democrats had notable progressive, socially liberal left wings and socially conservative right-wing factions within their parties, and today you don't see that as much?
Yes, I would say that's certainly true, that there was a spectrum of ideas and ideologies within both parties. It's interesting to reflect on, the discourse that we're in an era where there are cultural wars being fought out in politics, as if that's something new. And we could go back to the 20s and early 30s and the fight over prohibition, or we could go back to the early 20th century and the fight over access to birth control and women's control over their bodies. Fighting over cultural interpretations and standards is nothing new in American politics.
Now, with Franklin Roosevelt and the New Deal, you still had that solid South supporting the Democrats. And does this have to do with that his economic policies benefited the South greatly? And then this shift, or go ahead, touch on that.
No, you've gone right to the, I think, to the heart of what's so interesting about the New Deal. And that is that while there was a liberal urban racial equity agenda in the North, that Roosevelt essentially decided not to put pressure on white farmers in the South. So, for instance, when the National Labor Relations Act was passed in 1935, and it was a plan of Roosevelt and his close ally, Robert Wagner, who was the United States Senator from New York, they decided to leave out of the protections of the National Labor Relations Act government employees, domestic workers, and farm workers. And the reason they left farm workers out was that white farmers in the South did not want to face their workers being able to unionize. And so it was a bone that Roosevelt threw to the white South that enabled them. So what looks, I think, to many of us at a distance as the solid South really was quite complicated in terms of both class and race. And Roosevelt was very worried about politicians like Huey Long in Louisiana, who were organizing white voters and white working class voters on Roosevelt's right flank. And so Roosevelt essentially sold out African American farm workers in order to hang on to the political loyalties of white Southerners. And he said that he had to do it or there never would have been a New Deal at all. Mm. And it's an interesting thing to think about. Was that the necessary price to have a New Deal agenda at all?
Yeah, that is fascinating. And then fast forward from the New Deal, and you have the next big struggle with the South, with LBJ.
With civil rights.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
So I know LBJ was stated as saying that by pushing this Voters' Rights Act, that he was losing the South for a generation. And that kind of did come true, but this was kind of happening before that even, correct?
Right. I mean, it's another interesting instance, though, of kind of a third party emerging that kind of foretells that there's going to be a big structural political shift. So the emergence of George Wallace within the Democratic Party in 1968, at the same time, there's this great book, The Emerging Republican Majority, by Kevin Phillips, that talks about Richard Nixon's Southern strategy. And you look at Republican politicians like Nixon and Goldwater in the 60s and early 70s. But in a way, they were following what George Wallace, who was the old kind of Democrat in the South, that they were following what Wallace was showing, that white Southerners would do almost anything to prevent being put on the same plane with African Americans.
Hmm. Very interesting. So what did Nick's... So actually, let me rephrase this. What's the difference between, say, an Eisenhower to a Nixon to then a Reagan?
Well, I think that... I always think that the present and the past are in a conversation with each other. And that sometimes what we experience in the present enables us to see parts of the past more clearly than we had seen them before. And I think that we're living in a present right now where global capitalism and American capitalism are in crisis, that we got away from Keynesian economics in the mid-1970s and moved into neoliberalism under Reagan. And then that neoliberalism entered a profound crisis in 2008, 2009, 2010, that I think it has not pulled out of, that it is still mired in the crisis, that the financial crisis and banking crisis were the most public reflections of. And so the shift is, it's not only the ideology or cultural stance of an individual politician like Eisenhower or Nixon or Reagan, but it's the way the whole political terrain is responding to either the stability or the instability of the economy that sits, that everything sits on top of. And so Eisenhower, you know, really was able to rule at a time when the American economy was booming, and using Keynesian policies to generate demand-driven growth. And as some would say, that it was a tide that lifted all the boats. Nixon is already in a period in the late 60s when we start to see difficulties emerging. And the war in Vietnam is an important reflection of those difficulties. But so is the uprising in Paris in 1968 and the uprisings in Czechoslovakia, the challenges to the military regimes in Chile and Brazil, that the world was becoming much less stable in the late 60s and early 70s.
Yeah.
And Nixon, you know, Nixon was responding to that. And the fact is that Nixon was not successful in developing a strategy to cope with that instability. And Reagan, you know, Reagan really enjoyed that he came to power in a period when the alternative seemed to have disappeared, that the Soviet Union was imploding and the Eastern Bloc was falling apart. And so Reagan had the opportunity to kind of call victory, but it turns out that it did not create stability. And we are all over the world today in a period of great instability. And Trump and people of his ilk, whether it's Theresa May in England or Macron in France or this scary guy in Hungary, or this guy who looks like he's going to come to power in Brazil, it looks like the response to the crisis of capitalism as neoliberalism has imploded is to go for, you know, just about fascist dictatorship. And that may or may not succeed, but we cannot ignore that it's happening all over the world and not just in the United States.
I totally agree with that take, and I see some parallels to this time we're in now being a consequence of the Reagan economics, the neoliberalism, and we're facing a point where this is quickly collapsing on us, and people are looking for social democratic solutions or democratic socialist solutions like the New Deal. So I totally see that parallel and share those sentiments that you have.
Yeah, I think that this is, we are in a moment where choices are going to be very clear. Part of the challenge will be whether we continue to have the freedom to act on the choices that we might want to make. I worry every day that the 45th president is going to make it unlikely that we're actually able to act on the choices that we may want to make.
I totally agree, but I also feel hopeful that because of these consequences, we could have some bright left-wing progressive solutions, and it just
might be what was needed to
kind of kick people's attention to this. But Peter, we're going to have to go. Thank you so much. It's a fascinating topic, and I really agree with your takes on this situation.
It's a pleasure talking to you, Hunter, and I hope we can talk again soon.
Absolutely. We'll set something up again.
Thank you. All right. Take care.
Take care. All right. We'll be right back on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, 952-946-6205. We'll see you right after this.
At Pride Institute, being LGBTQ+ is the norm, not the exception. Their highly trained and skilled staff understand your issues and will help you live a happy, healthy life as a proud LGBTQ+ person. They offer you hope to overcome your addiction and live the life you want. Their treatment programs are designed to assist you in developing the knowledge, skills, and attitudes for long-term recovery. Therapy groups include health education, LGBTQ issues, HIV and chronic illness, trauma, grief and loss, transgender support, nicotine recovery education, and sexual health. Pride Institute offers a residential treatment program, a partial hospitalization program that includes day programming with lodging, and an intensive outpatient program. If you or someone in your life can benefit from guidance and coping skills, life balance, and other tools necessary for long-term recovery, check them out at pride-institute.com or call 800-547-7433 now.
Being a dog is awesome, except when you really gotta go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the Urban Dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an Urban Dog.
The Urban Dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The Urban Dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's 651-231-6333.
I'm Athena Janakis Karras, and my family invites you to join us at It's Greek to Me on the corner of Lake and Lindale. Since purchasing this iconic restaurant 2 years ago, our passion has been building upon the traditional by infusing the menu and space with modern interpretations of classic Greek cuisine. Sourcing fresh, authentic ingredients and recipes cultivated from our Greek heritage, your meal will be quintessentially Greek. Find It's Greek to Me at 626 Westlake Street in Minneapolis or at It's Greek to Me, MN.com.
Hi, this is Ken Hegland, host of the Minnesota Healthcare Show, your resource for all your healthcare and caregiver questions, inviting you to listen to our live show airing on Saturdays from noon to one. On my next show, I'll be talking with Valerie Richards, an Alzheimer's educator and family coach, about all aspects of care and support for families coping with this progressive form of dementia. Please join us this Saturday from noon to one for the Minnesota Healthcare Show.
You don't have to be an expert camper to enjoy the Boundary Waters. Big Bear Lodge is your home away from home that still lets you experience the Northwoods in authentic and modern woodsy cabins. Upon arrival, you'll be greeted by the owners whose priority is your relaxation. Take in amazing sunsets, stargazing, and moose viewing near the Gunflint Trail. There are free use of canoes and kayaks, guided pontoon tours, and private docks and fire pits. So come find your smile at Big Bear Lodge. More at BigBearLodgeMN.com.
We'll be right back.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Hunter Hawes and Brett Johnson filling in for today's local Minnesota radio hour. And as we touched on in that last interview, which was fascinating to me, by the way, that we see this as a consequence of Reaganomics and neoliberalism over the past 30, 40 years. People are seeking out more left-wing ideas, more progressive economic solutions. And we can see this clearly in the 2020 Democratic presidential race. I have an article from the magazine In These Times. The article is titled, "The Race to the Left. Forget Everything You Learned About Politics in the Last 40 Years." Now it says, "This progressive resurgence is reflective as well in the landscape of the 2020 Democratic presidential primary. The five probable contenders in the Senate, Bernie Sanders, Cory Booker, Kirsten Gillibrand, Kamala Harris, and Elizabeth Warren, have been among the Senate's most left-leaning voting records, and they're vying to distinguish themselves by introducing progressive legislation." And I find it fascinating that these five candidates, all from the Senate, are making their platforms for 2020, which each of them supports Medicare for all, a $15 minimum wage, card check for union elections, jobs guarantee, and then most of the candidates support public financing of elections. Only Kamala Harris doesn't support that. Tuition-free college is supported by all but Cory Booker, and a Green New Deal by both Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. So, Brett, have you noticed this leftward shift in the presidential race of potential contenders?
I think I've definitely noticed that shift, and it's just amazing to see that shift compared to, I was going to say 2004, but even 2008, just how leftward we moved. I wouldn't even say leftward, more populist and just overall good ideas.
Absolutely, and what's fascinating about those races is we had Dennis Kucinich, which was a just total outsider, didn't stand
People
a chance to win.
People thought he was crazy at the time.
Exactly, and then we now all of a sudden Bernie Sanders is leading the progressive wing of this party, something that policy-wise seemed impossible just 10 years ago. So fascinating to see, and I think it is a result of those things we talked about in the 20th and 21st century. But we're signing off for today. This is Hunter Hawes, Brett Johnson on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. We'll see you tomorrow.